Kof Gil Nissen, Isru Chag Pesach, Sunday the 28th of April, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, the message from Pesach, this week's messages from Pesach. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Ilan Ishmas, Reb Shimon Michael Svi ben Rev Avram Itzkevitz, Zecher Levracha.
Good morning, it's always a pleasure to be here. I'd like to thank Torah Way, obviously, for what they do, but also for keeping the specific photograph of me inside. So I must say, it boosts my confidence every time I see it. Over Yom Tov, we've been saying, V'hasiyenu Hashem Elekeinu Esbirkas Me'adecha. And I think the English translation for that would be, we ask Hashem to bestow upon us the blessings of the festival. But Sfarim discussed that word, Bahasiyenu, and Rav Hudna in one place, for example, finds the root of that word, Bahasiyenu, in the same root as Maso, which means baggage. Someone's carrying something, it's called a Maso. And he understands that V'hasi'enu Hashem Elekeinu Espiritas Mi'adecha is telling us that we ask the Kaddosh Baruch Hu that all the experiences and all the brachas of the Moed and everything that Pesach or whatever it might be, Shavuot Sukkot has, should be part of our luggage that we carry in the luggage of life that we take along with us in this world. As he writes there, it is wrong to say, oh wow, how Pesach flew by, how Sukkot flew by. Spiritual experiences do not fly by. They stay with us. And it's a bechinas maso. It's a maso. V'hasiyenu Hashem Elekeinu Espirkas Mi'adecha. We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu that we should be able to carry with us all the brachos of the Moed and take them with us through the journey of life. So, it could be that the days of Pesach have gone by fast, but Pesach has not flown by. But it's always important to remember that, as Rabbi Dessler writes, the Jewish calendar should not be something that we just travel through. That we just live our lives and the calendar's dates just fly past us, Purim goes by us, Pesach goes by us, Shavuos goes by us. We need to live the Jewish calendar. We need to try and do whatever we can to connect and bind whatever the calendar can give us in life. And the Sforim also say that Isru Chag is from the word Le'esar, means to bind, like Matir Asurim, to be bound. And the messages of every Yom Tov and the skulas of every Yom Tov are there for us to try and bind to our lives and connect to and incorporate and make part of our very essence. So here in the Chutz Laaretz it is Isru Chag. So you want to try and take a few messages from Pesach and try and internalize them and perhaps solidify them and bind them to us. The Yom Tov of Pesach, it seems, shines throughout the month. The Sforim tell us that the whole Chodesh Nisan has the Oyer of Pesach in it. The Avni Nezer, quoted in his Tshuvas in two places, the Avni Nezer writes that what a person can achieve in Chodesh Nisan in 1 hour is what usually takes a full day. Shah leyoim yechashiv. 1 hour in Chodesh Nisan can accomplish what it usually would take for an entire day to accomplish. And he writes that he doesn't even leave his house for the entire time. So it seems that once again the whole Chodesh has the Oyer of Pesach, and whatever a person can do to try and link to that and tie those messages to their lives is a very, very unique opportunity. There's a tremendous amount of shefa, tremendous amount of chesed that descends on the world, specifically over Pesach, but once again, the whole Chodesh has that unique chesed and other things coming upon it. It's interesting, there was a great Italian Kabbalist in the time of the Ramchal called Moshe David Vali. And he writes in his Pirush on the Gilas Esther, he asks a very strong question. How come Mordechai felt such a tremendous urgency to send Esther to Achashverosh willingly? over Chag HaPesach. The gzera of Lahashmid Laharig Abed was kimat a year later. The urgency of sending her now needs understanding. First of all, they were mevatel Pesach that year. They did not keep Pesach, they did not eat matzah that year. Secondly, it severed the marriage. The moment she went Baratzon, she was an Eish Hashish, the moment she went Baratzon, that was it. Never again, as we say with the Tisha B'Av Chun, Kasher Avadati Avadati. That was it. Her relationship to Mordechai was severed forever. What's the urgency? Wait a week, a month, whatever. The Gezerah is not till Kimat another year later. It's a strong question. And Moshe David Vali answers, he says that Mordechai understood the Skulas Hazman. He understood that Chag HaPesach, specifically that time period, has a tremendous shefa of chesed that descends upon the world. And although the Gezerah is not going to be for Kimat another year, the urgency that Mordechai felt to act now was to link, proactively, to link to the chesed that is apparent in the world at this time. And he said to Esther, you need to go now, because now is the time period of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous chesed is felt in the world. The whole concept of taking us out of Mitzrayim was an enormous chesed. We were not fully worthy of it. We didn't deserve it. We were Orim Ve'eria. We were Memtes Sharitzuma, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a tremendous amount of chesed upon us. Now is the time to act, to link to that tremendous chesed that we need so desperately to save Klal Yisrael from a potential genocide. Esther picked up on the message, and as he writes there, she then and there made a decision that she's going to follow everything Mordechai says. She always did that, but she's going to now completely throw herself into this. And she then and there offered to go in and to fast, by no coincidence, for 3 days. Where did she get that number from? Says Moshe David Vali, 24 times 3, 24 hours in a day, times 3 is 72, Begematria Chesed. She threw herself completely, b'mesiras nefesh, into this very, very dangerous act, and with connecting herself to the Midas HaChesed and using the Skulas Hazman, she did the tremendous Chesed with Klal Yisrael and brought the tremendous Yeshua and metamorphosis to Klal Yisrael at that time. And he adds that she said to her husband Mordechai, she said to him, I'm going to fast for 3 days. U'bechein ovoy el hamelech. Bechein is also Gematria 72. And by the way, the Rishonim, the Avodram, brings down that for this reason, many of the paragraphs that we say in Tfilas Shmoyne Esrei on Yom Neroim begins with the word Ubechein. Ubechein Tzadikim. Bechein. Bechein is Gematria 72. Base Chof Nun is 72. Base Chof Nun is 72. It's always with Chaf. No, not. Ubechein Ovei HaMelech. Base Chof Nun. And with Bechein Ovei HaMelech, I will come HaMelech, as we know, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with all the Midas HaChesed that's apparent here, I'm going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the Avodram writes that this is the reason why many of the stanzas, Ubechein Tzadikim, Ubechein Tein Pachtecho, Ubechein Tein Kovet, that was part of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah instituted the Twiddler with that word, with that introductory word, because we need that chesed as well, all year round, but specifically on Yom HaDin, and we, Ubechein Ovei HaMelech, want that to happen also every Rosh Hashanah. So all these, again, all these great things are still in the air. Today is Isru Chag, and we want to try and tie the Shefa that's still here, and solidify it and try and connect to all these things and Hasiyin and bring them into our luggage of life. So just a few points I'd like to make, different lessons, whatever time we have. The famous phrase that we say, Chayev Adam Lirois Es Atzmoi Ki'ilu Hu Yotzam Mitzrayim. It's a challenging thing to understand what exactly that means. Many explanations, Pasha Pshat. Chayev Odom Liras Es Atzmoy Ke'ilu Hu Yotzom Mitzrayim. It seems that we're supposed to see and feel that each and every one of us has left the world of Mitzrayim. Just a few points to try and understand that. It's interesting that the Al-Sheikh brings down that we'll be reading Megillas Rus in a few weeks. If you look at the end of the first parak of Megillas Rus, it says there that Rus arrived in Eretz Yisrael b'tchilas k'tzir so'im, at the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rashi tells us it was on the day of the Oymer, the second day of Pesach. That's when she arrived with Naomi to Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting, Al-Sheikh points out that there's no coincidence that's when she arrived. A person might argue, how can it be that Malchus Beis David, the Melech HaMashiach, comes from such a background? She comes from Moav, she comes from the lowest of the low, Memtes Shari Tuma. The Vilna Gaon writes that Moav, the Gematria Memtes, Moav is 49, all the Memtes Shari Tuma are there. So the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, we also come from Memtes Shari Tuma. We also came from Memtes Shari Tuma in Mitzrayim. So her purification process starts exactly at the same time as ours does. What, we think we're any better? Who are we to argue that she comes from that? We all come from that. Every one of us came from the world of Mitzrayim. And her purification process started with Chilas K'tir So'erim, literally, by the Korban Oymer. That's when she arrived there at Israel and started the great journey upwards to becoming Ima Shel Malchus. Similarly, we all did, and therefore no one can have a taina against Rus, so to speak. How come she got it? Where, look where she comes from. Everyone does. So a person needs to realize that, again, this specific time period is Masugal to take a person from nothing to everything. Literally, from Memtes Shari Tuma. As Sfarim say, we know the concept that the Omer is from barley, which is Machal Behema, Gemara says. And by the time you get to Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem is made from Chitim, which is Machal Odom. Symbolically, the journey of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a journey from Behema to the world of Adam. From a situation where we were literally a Bechinas Behema. We were like a Behema. Memtes Shari Tuma. Vat Orim Ve'eria. We did not have sufficient Schusim to leave Mitzrayim. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out from that and raised us until eventually we ascended this spiritual escalator, this Sulam, that took us all the way to Sinai. Sulam is Gematria Sinai, the Svarim point out. Sulam is written without a vav in Parshas Vayetze. Same Gematria Sinai. And a person can literally use these days, leaving the world of Mitzrayim and ascending to the world of Shavuos, leaving the world of Memtes Shari Tuma, Behema, and going all the way to the highest imaginable Madregas, the world of Adam, which is where we get to when we are by Sinai at the end of the journey at the top rung of the ladder. The Maral in one place writes, he says, why are we called an Adam? Because we come from the Adama. Says the Maral, and where does the Behema come from? A Behema also comes from the Adam. The Behema number one, no less than human being number one, also came from the Adam. So what makes us more Adam than the Behema? Why are we called Adam? Says the Maral, because the word behema, he says, is boma. Behema, boma. In it is what you see. There are no surprises with the behema. A behema can give you milk if you wish, it can plow your field if you wish. If you kill it, you can eat its meat, you can skin its hide and make a pair of shoes, but that's it. There are no surprises. No behema has ever become a rocket scientist or a dentist or, you know, or whatever. It is what you see. It's born a behema, it lives like a behema, in most cases dies like a behema. There's no surprises. Adam, says the Maral, is Oisius Ma'oid. Ma'oid, ma'oid. We are not called Adam just because we come from the Adam. So does a behemoth. We are called Adam because we are like the Adam. In other words, just like the Adam has unlimited potential. The Adam, you can grow countless fruits, countless produce. There's no limit, there's no end to the potential of the Adam. So the journey that we all experienced and can once again experience, because again it's all in the spiritual climate of the time, is that a person can come from nothing and raise themselves and use the skulas hazman to go from a bechinas behema, boma, which was what we were, which is what Rus was, which is what everyone in Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim to a great degree, and reach the ultimate unlimited potential of mankind, which is again unlimited. Adam oisias ma'oid by the time one gets to Sinai. Chayev Adam liris es atzme kilu hu yot sama Mitzrayim. A person has to see themselves as constantly leaving the world of Mitzrayim. Not limiting oneself. The word Mitzrayim, the Moshe Shapiro always talk about Mitzrayim being for the word Meitzar. Mitzarim. And Meitzar means straits, like the straits of Gibraltar. Straits. It's something which limits, something which encloses, it restricts. Yetzias Mitzrayim is leaving all that behind. Breaking away from that. It's interesting. Grammatically, it should not be Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim sounds that Mitzrayim is going out. We call it Betzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. What's Yetzias Mitzrayim? But Yetzias Mitzrayim is telling us that it's not just that we are going out of Mitzrayim. We have to get everything of Mitzrayim, get that out of us. The concepts of Mitzrayim need to be removed from us. A person has to not label themselves or allow themselves to be labeled. This is what you are. This is your potential. This is who you are. What can I do? I was born this way. Whenever I was in the war, and if I didn't go to yeshiva, or I'm a B student, or I've got this learning difficulty, or that learning difficulty, whatever, that's it. You've been labeled. You've been labeled. And often those labels restrict a person from breaking away from that and realizing that Adam is oisius and oid. There's no limitations. Chayv Adam liris is atzmei kilu hu yotzam Mitzrayim, that we've all broken out of that world and have unlimited potential that lies in front of us. And this, I heard from my Rebbeim, this is the Inyan of why the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva specifically died during this time period. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, famous Gemara, that Yud Beis Elef Zugos Talmidim Hoyle Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. The kulam mesu mi Pesach vadatzeres. They all died between Pesach and Shavuos. Mipnei shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh, because they didn't have kavod to one another. Obviously, we can't associate anything that we might be familiar with in the world that we live in to this. Right? We're talking about Tanoim. We're talking about some of the greatest giants that walk the face of this earth. Lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh on their madrega. Something was wrong. But the question that is asked is, why did they specifically die during this time period? Was it about, I mean, surely they didn't only not have kavod between Pesach and Shavuos. That's ridiculous. There obviously must have been, on their madrega, lack of kavod throughout the year. The time that apparently cannot tolerate, cannot stomach, cannot digest the lack of kavod, for some reason is between Pesach and Shavuos. So what is it specific about this time that cannot tolerate a lack of kavod zeh lazeh, specifically coming from Talmidei Rabbi Akiva? It seems a higher standard was expected from them. The Maral points out that they died for 32 days. They stopped dying by Lag BaOmer, as we know. And 32 is Gematria kavod. They died for kavod amount of days. Mipnei shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. Okay, that makes sense. But why specifically now? Why was the pay-up time between Pesach and Shavuos? What is it about Pesach and Shavuos that cannot tolerate such a thing? But once again, Hein Hein Advarim, this is the same Inyan as we're discussing here, that this particular time period demonstrates the unlimited potential of mankind. And it's between Pesach and Shavuos that a person's tremendous potential is realized. Ever since we left Mitzrayim. When you realize that the person that you're talking to, the person next to you, is a person not just of what they are, but what they can become. And that is something which is unlimited. That demands a covet. That demands a covet between people. When you have a person like Rabbi Akiva as your Rebbe, who is the paradigm in a personality of this concept, if there ever was a person who went from Bo Ma to Ma'oid, if there ever was a person who was an Am Haaretz at the age of 40, a person will think he's whatever, 40, obviously, well into life, 40, but then to suddenly make such a mapecha in his life, such a tremendous mapecha in his life, that by the end of his life, when he was 120 years old, he became the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. Gemara Megillah says, Kulu Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. All the many, many Maori Chazal, different places in Chazal, all are Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. The Tzadik HaKohen writes that we know that all the sugyas of Shas belong specifically in the Masechtas that they are found. It's not a coincidence. Right? Every sugya is there for a reason. Right? The sugya of Churban HaBayis is in Masechtas Gittin, because Kav Yochel, there was a certain, so to speak, a gerushin that happens to Klal Yisrael. We're waiting for Machse Grushose, but there was a gerushin that happened to Klal Yisrael in by the Churban. The sugi of Matan Torah is Rebbe Tzadok HaKohen is in Masechtas Shabbos. Why? Because Kula Alma Lo Pligi, nobody argues, everyone agrees that Matan Torah was on Shabbos. Rebbe Tzadok HaKohen adds that in which Perek is the whole sugi of Matan Torah? By no coincidence, it's in Perek de Rabbi Akiva. The name of the Perek is Rabbi Akiva. Because the father of Torah Shebaal Peh was Rabbi Akiva. He was the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. He went from an Am Haaretz at the age of 40 to becoming the father of Torah Shebaal Peh by the end of his life. Reached the most unbelievable madrigas that Kav Yochel, it seems even Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, admired that personality. So when you have a Rebbe like Rabbi Akiva, we have a living example of potential, unlimited potential of a human being who came from nothing to everything, then that creates a tviya. There's a tremendous tviya against the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva on their madriga, that whatever it was that there was a lack of covet between Zeh LaZeh, having such a Rebbe and in their madriga losing covet for Zeh LaZeh, this particular time period, which doesn't tolerate that because it brings out that very concept, is something which brought about the catastrophe that it did. The tremendous catastrophe. You cannot imagine. The Torah describes what happened during those days. If we're talking about a 32-day period, 24,000 Talmidim, we're talking about around 800 Levayas a day of Gedolei Hador. Imagine, can't wrap your head around such a thing. 800 Levayas of Gedolei Hador a day. Every shul must have been filled with the Yisoyimim of thousands of children of Gedolei Yisrael. It was a Churban, absolute Churban. Once again, Hanegea L'Yoneinu is that we're constantly, during these days, we need to feel that we ourselves have to leave the Mitzrayim. We have to take Mitzrayim out of us, all those limitations, all those restrictions, etc., to take it out of us and leave it behind, and to realize that every person has much, much more than they can ever imagine that lies before them. And this is all part again of Chayev Adam Liris Es Atzmoi Kiluhu Yotzam Mitzrayim. That tremendous unlimited potential. Have another 5 minutes. Another idea of Chayev Adam Liris Es Atzmoi Kiluhu Yotzam Mitzrayim is to feel the Maton that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us when we left Mitzrayim, and generally in life. Yetzias Mitzrayim was something which we didn't fully deserve. We were in Memtes Shari Tzuma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us tremendous shefa and chesed that we never fully earned. And under normal circumstances, a person needs to first work, earn, deserve, and then you're going to get the results at the end. That's how it works. You put the effort in here. Hisseirusa de la sata. You earn it, you deserve it, you get it. One of the great chidushim, also part of the tremendous chesed that was apparent in Pesach, was that we never earned it fully. We didn't fully deserve it. And yet, nonetheless, all that kedusha and all that chesed and all those tremendous miracles came upon us when we left Mitzrayim. A person could sit down to Leil HaSeder for 100 years and never notice this, but the chidush HaOrim did. That in the titles of Leil HaSeder, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, etc., there's a very interesting Vav HaChibur on the word Urchatz, which is Tzorech Iyun Godel. Kadesh, make Kiddush. Urchatz, you wash your hands, nothing to do for Matzah, you're not washing for Matzah. You're washing because tonight we're behaving like in the Beis HaMikdosh, Tibuloi B'mashkim, you dip the vegetables in salt water, so tonight we're behaving like that, we're washing our hands for that as well. And then you eat karpas, and then the achatz, etc. What's the vav hachibur of urachatz? Makesha. The urachatz got nothing to do with the kaddish. If anything, it should be kadesh, rachatz, vekarpas. If anything. But there's no vav hachibur anywhere else. Kadesh, urachatz, vekarpas, veyachatz. Doesn't say vav. What's the vav hachibur of urachatz? The Chiddush HaOrim explains that on a deeper level, kadesh, again, interesting, it doesn't say Kiddush. Kadesh, Kiddusha. Urchatz is purification, washing. Under normal circumstances, you first cleanse, purify, and then you get to Kiddusha. In the Mesillas Yesharim, Kiddusha is at the end of the Sefer. Right? Tahara and Nikios, all those things are well beforehand. You have to work hard, cleanse yourself, earn, deserve, and then you'll get at the end of the journey. Since when does Kaddish come without earning it, without working for it? So on a deeper level, says the Chiddush HaOrim, we start reminding ourselves at the very beginning of Leil HaSeder, Kaddish. You got Kedusha. Where did that fall from? I never earned it. I never deserved it. It's not something I worked for. I didn't build myself to get this. And nonetheless, we got it. But there's a T'nai, Urachatz. Although you never earned it beforehand, and now teaches us the Baal HaGodah, Urachatz, and now purify yourself, and now cleanse yourself, and now retroactively earn that which you did not deserve. How do I do that? Once again, that's the world of Sfiras HaOmer, which comes immediately afterwards. That's the way we build and earn and deserve something which we didn't really work for beforehand, but retroactively now we can earn it through the Avodah of Sfira, growing, building ourselves on a daily basis, on whichever level it is, to try and earn and bring about the urachatz to the kaddish that we never earned. It's interesting, as I once heard from one of my rebbeim, that this is the inyan also why we say tefillas tal on Pesach. Geshem is on Sukkos, tal is on Pesach. Sukkos is a yom tov that we earned, actually. We did earn. The Anani HaKavod that came down on Sukkos, Anani HaKavod that came down after we did Tshuva, after Moshe Rabbeinu interceded on our behalf, after we started donating to the Mishkan. There was a tremendous amount of Hisseirusa de Lesato. And then we got the Anani HaKavod, and that's what we celebrate on Sukkos. It's a Bechinas Geshem. Geshem, you can see rain where it comes from. You see where it comes from, where it lands. The truth is, the whole Geshem process begins down here. The rain down at the water reservoirs down here, they evaporate and eventually shower from above. But the process began down here. Pesach is a Bechinas Tal. Excuse the pun. It wasn't due to you. It wasn't due to our efforts. We never earned it. We never deserved it. We never worked for it sufficiently. It's like dew. It's like something which we never fully worked for. You wake up in the morning, you don't see the dew landing. You just see the results. This basically is what we have to think about also, not just in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but in life, that many of the brachas that we have in life, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chalila would work with exactitude and monitor bedin, we wouldn't survive for a second. Chayav Adam Liras Esatzim Ki Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim, we're all constantly living on tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us in so many ways. But then the question is, what do I do with all that chesed? What do I do with all that chesed? Do I just take all the gifts of life and just run in the other direction? Or do I say, obviously I didn't deserve this, but ideally I should be paying you before I get things, but now that you gave it to me as a chesed, I'll try my best now to do the orachatz and try and earn it retroactively at least, and be zeichet to something which is not nahama de kisufa, it's not the bread of shame, that I can perhaps later, at a later stage, try and make my own. So, Mitzvah Shem, we should try on Isruchag to try and bind some of these messages and take these things with us. And I'll conclude with the words of an old Polish Shayid who met his friend on Erev Chanukah, and he said to him, you should have a Lichtig Chanukah and a Freilich and Purim and a Kosher and Pesach and the Milcha Geshvuas. The main thing, is we should all be Zeicha to a Fleishig Tisha B'Av.